Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Stay Up Podcast. My name is Jim Dacian. I'm author of the book Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art, and I'm particularly excited to welcome my guest today. It's Kiosk. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Really appreciate the opportunity to get interviewed, and yeah, it's good to be here.
No, it's great to finally talk to you. We've never met before, and we've interacted online. And so it's always, when you see someone in person or if you just hear a voice, it's always, I think it's wonderful. So, yeah, it's good to have you on the phone.
Absolutely. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So let's, like, it's nice to start out with basics in terms of the name Kiosk, where it comes from, and maybe a little bit about how you got into the world of street art and you first got your start.
Yeah, definitely. That's a really loaded question. I can try to break it down for you. Basically, I've been an artist ever since I was a kid. I think the thing that actually transitioned me into doing art was I actually broke my leg when I was 2 years old. So I was like 2 and a half just laying in bed, and I couldn't move for about 2 months. So that's actually when I started to draw. It's just kind of like one of those things. I had nothing else to do. I couldn't move, so I just started, you know, picking up the pen and drawing. And I remember getting attention from it and the girls during kindergarten, like drawing all these like cool pictures because I was like the only one that could draw, from what I remember. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of like it just stuck with me. And then of course it transitioned into high school and stuff. And you know, I just remember showing my pictures to like drawings and like groups of people during lunch or break time, and just how people would like huddle around me and look at all the artwork that I'd drawn like the night before. So then mm-hmm. I kind of started thinking, how could I take this on a broader level? So it was around 1998 when I actually first started dabbling into graffiti. I started doing all types of areas, you know, just kind of like anywhere I could find. And it was around that same time in 1998 I connected with a writer named Rocka Scheme. Mm-hmm. This person was from Altadena, and it was just seemed like every Saturday night, that's what we were doing. So, yeah, that's kind of like the transition of it. And then there have been periods of time where I just didn't do any art for like a year or 2 years.
Yeah.
But eventually I always kind of like swung back to it because it is my passion, and now I'm pretty much here to stay. So.
Yeah. Well, even as a kid, you were like, you've posted images of graffiti-based imagery. It looks like you were in grade school and doing
it. Yeah, exactly right.
Was it that early that you were inspired by that type of aesthetic?
Yeah, I was really, I was benefited in my art career just by the teachers that I had. They had a profound impact on just, you know, my outlook on life and just in general. I've had so many different teachers in my life, you know, teachers from, you know, all the way from like second grade, you know, up until like teachers that I've had in college, like Stan Kong, that teaches at Art Center. I've had several different teachers at Pasadena City College that also teach at Art Center that taught at Pasadena City College. So I was kind of getting like an education of a Art Center student. So that was...
That's great.
Yeah, just being classically trained does help, but at the same time, you can do perfectly fine without any schooling as an artist. So either way, you know, you can get the job done. So
yeah, there's a certain camaraderie ship. You're expedited your education when you have good mentors or good teachers. But you're right. You certainly can learn those things on your own. But you certainly benefited from it and being around the educational atmosphere. So where does the name Kiosk come from?
The name Kiosk came from, it actually took me about 6 months to figure out that name. It was just a matter of opening up the dictionary and going through words. And I eventually realized that the letter K had a really good sense of power to it. Kind of takes up a lot of space, and there's a lot of different options that you can do with that letter. So I wanted to find a word that it had the letter K flanking on both sides. So once I came across that word, then all these different coincidences came up that kind of correlated to me. For example, when I broke my femur when I was 2 and a half years old, I fell from a fort, so that's kind of like a kiosk, and that's kind of like what gave me the drive to actually start drawing to begin with.
Okay.
Another interesting thing about named kiosk is that it's kind of an invasive structure. For example, like when you go in the mall, I mean, you're just walking down the center of an alley, and then boom, these kiosks just like stand out. And pretty much the root name or origin meaning of what the word kiosk means is any structure that creates shade. So when I first picked the word, I wanted to have something that, you know, kind of had a really broad definition, a really broad meaning. So I just kind of started writing it, and it just kind of like stuck with me. I'm German, so actually the word kiosk is spelled the same way in German as in English. So just all these weird nuances that kind of just fit my personality, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
How many? Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it was such a. It is a striking name, and when you hear something like that, you obviously I can't make those personal associations. So it's fascinating to hear how that comes about. Because the first thing I thought of with two K's, I think kick.
Right.
Kick you out of the treehouse.
Yeah.
So okay, so that makes sense with the architectural imagery that you're doing. That these sort of standalone. Sort of architectural monuments that I see that you create that are very in-depth, very concerned with perspective, geometrically, you know, even machine-like. So there's obviously a connection with kiosk and that imagery then as well.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I developed the perspective stuff pretty much, I'd say, about a year after I started doing this two-face character that I developed in 2006. The reason I started doing characters is because the graffiti scene just seemed so saturated with letters.
Yeah.
I connected with someone that goes by the name of Ratso, and he's pretty much he's a really well-known underground graffiti writer that he's been in several books before. He doesn't really care about the fame whatsoever. Really good down-to-earth type of person. And when I met Ratso, it's just, I kind of related to him the fact that I just wanted to do character imagery instead of letters. So that's where that whole start came from. So I developed the two-faced character with Ratso pretty much. And it was about a year later I started doing work in perspective. And the main reason I started the wheat paste to begin with is because I knew that type of imagery had a better transition into like a gallery setting. I mean, of course, you can have really great work with graffiti type of art, but I wanted something that was more tangible, more solid, more organized, I guess. So I got into wheat pasting so I could start, you know, I could draw at home and then take that image, start putting it out on the streets. I started doing perspective, really just to, I just noticed that no one was doing it. You know, no one was doing perspective type designs, and I just kind of saw a niche where I could fit. So I just really started to push perspective work, and that was... I started wheat pasting at the end of 2007. That's when I started doing that. So it's been like 5 years I've been wheat pasting now.
Wow. I mean, it's an interesting perspective as you transition from really graffiti letters into what it sounds like you would call it street art in terms of using the different types of media, specifically wheat pasting and the imagery taking precedent. So yeah, there's an obvious distinction there that happened, and I find that I love talking to folks like yourself who've been part of both worlds, who differentiate it like that. So it makes it much more understandable. Well, that's. So you also have done imagery of yourself with wheat pasting, I've noticed. So what's the story behind that? I mean, it's kind of
I've
a full full body version, like those cardboard cutouts that you see at stores of celebrities. So it's basically you. What are you doing in that? Can you give us a little bit of a background behind that image?
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of criticism with that stuff, but at the same time, I think that's why I did it to begin with. I just noticed so many people, you know, doing stuff like covering the bottom of their face and taking a picture. You know, it's like, in reality, if they really wanted to know, they would be able to determine who you are and so on and so forth. It's just kind of like a parody on, I basically read a quote, and it went along the lines of saying, every painter paints who they are. So I just kind of took that literally, and I just started to wheat paste myself everywhere, and I drive by it, and I just get a laugh out of it. there's no real honest reason to doing that, but it was kind of cool because, you know, they're printed out 6'3", and 6'3", so they're life size, and it's just kind of an interesting thing that no one else had done before. I know Morley paints himself, but no one has actually taken an image of themselves, of their full self, and put it up on a wall, so I just kind of wanted to be the first to do that.
Yeah, that's interesting. It is kind of funny when it's
that's good.
Versions of you laid out.
Yeah.
So, like, criticism that people are just like, what, they think that you love yourself? Is that what the idea is?
I've had people say stuff like that, just kind of, you know, like my friends are like, dude, what are you doing that for? That's retarded. I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of like one of those things where I tried it out and did it a couple times, and who knows, I might not do it again, but...
Yeah, well, it's like kind of having a mirror up wherever if you walk down the street, it's kind of nice to see yourself. And if anything, I think it's interesting because it's almost like a play on fame, the idea of the celebrity image that sort of is recirculated over and over and how we become so familiar with them. Because I've seen your updates and that image so many times and I've seen it posted, I feel like I know who you are even though I've never met you. You know, it's kind of one of those things. It's in my brain already. So, good job there, right?
Yeah. It's,
go ahead. Keep going.
It's just, I don't know. It's just kind of really just trying to be funny, I think. And then when you're standing along next to it, you can kind of like get a sense of like who I am in person because it's the same height and stuff. So it's just that whole kind of thing. It was actually based on a quote from Jackson Pollock. That's after watching the movie. I started reading all these quotes on Jackson Pollock, and so that's the guy that said every painter paints who they are. So.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, that's good. Have you been recognized because of it? Has someone?
I have. I was actually inside of Amoeba, and I had my black hat on that was crooked, and she's like, I think I've seen you before on a wall. Aren't you like up the street?"
Oh
so
my gosh.
I just kind of like laughed, and I was like, "Yeah, that was me." And I kind of just like walked away.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because it's another thing is that folks worry about, you know, the legality of it or being chased down or being identified by the law in terms of that. So you're not worried about that, obviously.
You can't be. So I don't know. It's kind of just a double-edged sword, I guess.
Yeah. And at least it hasn't caught up with you yet.
No, yeah. You know, I just try to put my stuff in areas where it's not looking malicious, and my whole thing is that at the point in my, I guess, career in graffiti or whatever, I'm just more interested in getting walls where you have permission, where you can take your time, and where you can actually execute work instead of like being in a rush. In terms of the whole like being in a rush type of art, I've definitely considered myself as someone that's been there, done that. Having my origins being graffiti, it's kind of completely different nuances compared to street art. They're completely different breeds, but at the same time, I like knowing that I'm pretty well versed in both scenarios. But yeah, I consider myself probably more of a wheat pacer now, and someone that also tries to do the permission walls. So I don't really, the malicious stuff is kind of out of my blood at the moment.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, it's a good point because it also illustrates something I'm really interested in, that street art exists in between this world of graffiti, which is very, very large, and that street art pulls a lot of ideas and concepts and certainly originates out of it. But street art also overlaps with the professional art world. And so
absolutely.
What we find is that
you
have this image of sort of this renegade, but you don't necessarily have to be, if that makes sense. So it can border both of those worlds, and you can be on a spectrum either way. And, yeah, it seems that the longer you do it, more likely you're moving more to the right, more towards the professional art world, which is another reason why you don't have to worry about things like that, which is good.
Absolutely.
So on top of that, you are a student, correct?
I am.
You're going to graduate this year.
Yeah, I have 9 months left, going to Cal State University Northridge.
Yeah. And how is that going?
It's going great. It's an excellent school. It's one of the top communication schools. I know Cal State Fullerton has a strong communication department. That's the main reason I, you know, chose to go to Northridge is for communications. And while I was at Pasadena City College, I actually was geared towards getting into Art Center. I actually got accepted at Art Center for illustration, but, you know, being a, you know, college that's extremely expensive at $110,000 a year for 2.5 years, it just kind of seemed out of my range, and, you know, I weighed the pros and cons of how much debt do I want to be in versus the degree. I figured that I was going to be a painter regardless of my major, so I just felt as though majoring in communications would be the ideal thing, so I could technically kind of have a, you know, if I'm going to paint throughout my entire college career and, you know, get an academic degree, I think that'd be a pretty good combination. So hopefully I could just kind of, you know, see myself in 9 months graduating. I'm doing internships right now and, you know, just maybe working on the corporate level for the Mocha, corporate level for the Getty. I have a shoe-in possibly at CBS. So I'm just kind of like weighing out my options and, you know, seeing where it takes me.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Yeah. You've got a lot of potential in terms of places you can go. So in thinking about that, I mean, how many folks from the world of communications in terms of your degree or friends in that arena know about your street art?
If I'm friends with people at school, I definitely kind of tell them about it. There have been certain classes where I've had to get up in front of the class and kind of describe to them what graffiti culture is. Like currently right now I'm taking a class in pop culture. Obviously street art and stuff like that is pop culture, so that's going to be an interesting class. I'd say most people on the collegiate level, they're kind of interested in graffiti, but they're not really pretty savvy about knowing about it, I guess. So I'm really eager to tell them about, like, what it is and that it's an actual culture and stuff. So.
Right.
Yeah,
it seems like it kind of, so it sounds like it exists a little bit below the surface. It pops up when it's appropriate.
Right.
But in a way, it can be considered a little bit of a dual life. I guess all of us have versions of that. But in that way, it really is a subculture, the way it works, isn't it?
It absolutely is a subculture. It's, you know, being in it since 1998 and just kind of like dabbling in it, being consistently doing this type of stuff for like the past 5 years, I've really seen that, you know, there are other people that do this kind of stuff, like Free Humanity, Scepterhead, Common Sense. These type of people, like, I find a common ground with. Like, we think alike. They're just similar things that I find consistent with them that I don't see in other people. I mean, just artists in general can kind of understand where any street artists come from. They just want to, you know, be able to show their art to everyone and not have to, like, pay for it or pay for a gallery setting. It's just another way of doing it.
Yeah, and so in mentioning Free Humanity and Common Sense and folks like that, I mean, how did you, do you know each one of those personally? Have you gone out together, or is this just a matter of you admire their work or how they go about doing it?
Yeah, I've met all these guys. I consider them acquaintances. They're all, like, really good people. I would definitely say that I'm partial with the people that I associate myself with. You know, other upcoming artists that I want to mention is Laser. He goes by Laser Blade. He's definitely going to be an artist that is going to pop up pretty soon here. He's already doing the street stuff, but he's a really talented sculptor, so there's going to be more of his work in the future. I hope to definitely do a show actually with Laser in a couple months, possibly around December. So,
fantastic. That's awesome. I appreciate that. So this whole thing has, I mean, in terms of street art and graffiti, has reached new levels, I would say, in the last 3 or 4 years, whether it's national exposure, blue chip gallery shows, major museum shows, several just in the last few years. What have you made of all this in terms of the way it's become, in many ways, celebrated in pop culture and become part of the vocabulary of just sort of the average person?
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic that it's finally become mainstream. I've seen this stuff be underground for 7 years, where it was just frowned upon. It'd be mentioned and people would talk bad about it. It's often the people that don't like street art are the ones that can draw or don't like art. So with that being said, I'd say street artists are talking to the specific people that enjoy art and specifically those that also do street art. It's interesting how you can communicate with imagery between other street artists by putting it in the same location, by putting it around the corner, you know, just kind of, I don't know, getting your name out there and, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. There's a communication that happens between when you place objects next to each other, images, and with street art, it's very context specific. So taking advantage of that nook or cranny or that particular wall, it says something. And
right.
So one of the things I love when I see multiple street arts on a wall. It becomes very fun, very interactive, and it's done over time. So you can see a little bit of that history evolve. And even when artists come back after their imagery has, you know, fallen down or just been covered up, that also becomes very interesting, too. So it has this very organic feel as it grows.
Right. It's neat when it starts to cluster up and you start, you know, seeing like, oh, that person was here, and it's kind of...
Yeah.
It's always
fun. We have an interesting picture in the book that has you, Smear, I think Scepterhead, there's little circle stickers. That's really wonderful. Just illustrates that as sort of just layered upon layered of imagery. But at the same time, it's like then you see it in these big shows, or then you see it appropriated in a, I don't know, like a shopping mall, sort of like that same look of that layered aesthetic, but without any sort of artistic purpose, becomes very strange. It becomes like wallpaper sometimes when I see it sort of appropriated in different stores, which is also just odd. I mean, do you run across stuff like that, or does that bother you at all?
You mean when I see street art going mainstream?
Or when you see, like, Disneyland take a street art aesthetic and use it as wallpaper in their store to highlight their T-shirts, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. That type of stuff definitely irritates any artist. I know there was a discrepancy where someone printed shark tooth imagery on these like napkins for William and Sonoma. It's like this kitchen store. And I think, I'm not sure if shark tooth sued the person or if he just told him to stop printing them, but I know the guy eventually stopped doing it. It was like copyright infringement. So
yeah.
to all you street artists out there, you might want to patent your work. It might pay off later. So
it certainly will. It's a imagery thing because folks will borrow it. And they'll do it to make their product look a little bit cooler or a little bit edgier. Is really
absolutely. Yeah, that's
rather
the whole
than
mainstream effect of it, and it's just a domino effect. It's at the same time, it's flattering, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's flattering, and it's a compliment you almost wouldn't rather have. I mean, Cryptic also ran into a situation where one of his prints or his concept
really
was then lifted and made into a limited edition print by some other, you know, street art sales online thing.
Wow.
You know, one other thing was added to it. And it is. It's a compliment you almost would rather not have because, like, that image was very, very powerful to begin with, and that's why they lifted it. But at the same time, there is somewhat of a contradiction because street artists also lift a lot of imagery and don't recognize where it comes from. You know, I mean, there's a lot of
yeah.
it. And so where is the ethical boundary there? It's all very, very blurry sometimes.
Yeah, I think there's actually a law. I don't know if I remember seeing this, but it went along the lines of saying something like, if it's on the street, then it's public. That means that anyone can own the image if you were to take a picture of it. But I think there has to be, like, some legalities behind that, especially if you had a copyright on
yeah.
your image, and then you could just be like, you know, this is mine, and you can't use it for reproduction. I think that's pretty much what happened to Shark Tooth. But I know the guy stopped making the napkins. He, like, pulled them off the shelves and stuff, so.
No, that's good.
It could get pretty hairy, I would imagine.
It certainly can. It certainly can. But it is pretty fun to explore, and Shark Tooth's imagery is good stuff, so I can see why someone would be attracted.
Yeah, he's a designer. He went to Art Center. I remember meeting him, like, in like 2006 at Art Center, and that was when he was really doing, like, a lot of street work, so I have a lot of respect for Shark Tooth. Also, another person I want to mention is Smear. I mean, that guy's put in so much work and done so much for just, you know, graffiti in general, and major respect to Smear. And also another person I wanted to name drop was Armo. He's a wee paster up in San Francisco, and, you know, those two guys are definitely doing their work, so.
Yeah, most definitely. Actually, that image that's in the book has you, Armo, and Smear in it.
Correct.
If I recall correctly. Yeah, Armo has a...
Yeah.
A really neat abstract style that's actually evolved into these figures that are coming out from within the imagery.
Absolutely.
So,
very unique stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's really good stuff. Well, cool, Kias. I appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time to chat about all this stuff today.
Absolutely. I just want to name my – I have a website that I'm building right now. I don't know if I can mention that real quick.
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
It's www.artofkias.com. I'm building the website. If you have any questions or if you want any commission work, anything along those lines, just email me. The first page is up, but I'll have many more pages to come. It'll be completed in about 2 months. So.
Awesome. Awesome. So, yeah, check out Kias's website. And in the meantime, folks can find you on Facebook. Are you on Flickr or anything like that as well?
I'm not on Flickr. I actually had a lot of posts on there, but I forgot the password, so I'm no longer on Flickr. but, yeah, if you wanted to find me on Facebook, it's Kiosk Space Art. So I'm on there. You can find me.
Well, fantastic. Well, thanks again for joining me today. This has been a good conversation.
Thanks again. I really, really appreciate it.
No problem. And let me sign us out. If you're interested in learning more about these podcasts and future interviews, we do have a Facebook site as well. It's Day Up Los Angeles Street Art. But until then, we'll let the music take us out, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks so much.